Shut it down! Shut it down forever!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is your unfriendly pinhead 198 back with a new episode. I gotta say, I'm a little agitated today. Not any more so than usual, but, you know, Scream 7's gonna suck monkey dick. Everything's falling apart with Melissa Barrera being fired because she dared to say something so controversial as, you know, don't kill innocent people. She's automatically an anti-Semite now, so she had to be dropped from the picture. Excuse me. And then, so too did Jenna Ortega follow right behind and said, I'm good. I'm not doing this. I quit. She said it was before her publicist team and all the shit said that it was because Wednesday's new season, now that we're done with the writers and actors strike, and Wednesday's new season is going to take up most of her time and all the other projects. Bullshit. She just didn't want to get shit canned too. I don't blame you, baby girl. But she was standing by the side of her sister, Melissa Barrera. You know, and I don't blame her. So now this project's going to be a piece of shit because now they got to go power slide on their knees to suck Neve Campbell off to get her back after they did her dirty for Scream 6. You guys are reaping what you sow. I'm kind of glad this is happening. Spyglass, you fucked up. Because this isn't, everybody's getting mad at Paramount. Oh, Paramount, you see, we knew we shouldn't have trusted you. It's not Paramount's decision. Paramount went out in a fucking, put out a statement saying, this ain't our decision. This is all Spyglass. You want to get mad, go after them. They're the ones that made the decision. We don't have no say in this. Because Spyglass, when it comes to this portion, owns the lion's share of the decision. Paramount's just a distributor. They don't make the decisions on who gets hired and who gets fired. And I'm going to say this on a side note. I'm getting a little sick and tired of this fucking boycott talk. I understand the frustration in the horror community and people talking about, well, I'm boycotting the next couple. Like, Thanksgiving 2 has been announced. I'll put that out because this is the episode that's going to be mostly about news. I'm going to do a review, but we're mostly getting in the news, and the news has been Thanksgiving 2 was announced by Eli Roth himself on his social media that Sony Pictures is going forward. That's one piece of news we're going to be talking about. We'll segue into that after I'm done ranting. But Sony Pictures is going to start making more horror movies. They want to get into more horror movies, and they've already greenlit Thanksgiving 2, and it's only been out for a couple of weeks. Eli Roth announced it. He said he's going to spend all of 2024 writing and scripting out the story, fleshing out the plot holes, what might be there, fixing it, and making sure that it's released by next Thanksgiving of 2025. But now everybody's already saying they're going to boycott it because Spyglass is behind the distribution and doing all this other shit. So now we're going to boycott. And I want you to understand what a boycott means. A boycott is not going to take down the conglomerate. Do you understand this? A lot of you out here do not understand this fact. That when you boycott something, none of the CEOs and the bigwigs and the huge people working for the giant mega billion dollar conglomerate corporation are going to be affected. It's going to be the coffee boy, the catering team, the visual effects people, the fucking writers. The low men on the totem pole riders, the first ADs, the gaffers, the grippers, the fucking people that go slate, the slate droppers, they're all getting fired first to cut back on what loss will happen from Scream 7 and Thanksgiving 2 from the boycott. It ain't gonna be there. We showed them. We sure showed them. We got that mega billion dollar conglomerate corporation. We got them. Yeah, victory for the little man. We're freedom fighters in the horror community. Fuck off. You ain't doing nothing but getting lower people on the totem pole X'd out of jobs they need. So just remember that when you think that you need to boycott something. I understand we don't need to just sit back and let them fuck us in the ass. That's stupid too. But when you go out and say you're going to boycott something and you're going hog wild and crazy, just remember who you're affecting when you're doing the shit. You're not affecting the fucking CEOs and the big wig and the man behind the all-seeing eye. He's still staying in power. Buckwheat, trust me. And he's laughing his head off, laughing at you down there going, boycott. Boycott our fucking movie. We don't care. We'll make the revenue back by firing all these people I just told you about, and we'll make another shitty horror film that we'll just hide it under a sister dummy corporation that you won't even know is Spyglass, but it really is. You'll go see it because you think it's a new giant horror movie production company. Well, it's really Spyglass, and they'll just make back and recoup the money they lost. Get the message? Fuck. So on that note, we'll go into the horror news. We already talked about Thanksgiving 2 is officially greenlit. Sony's already doing it. And with that being said, let's get into the news of Sony via The Hollywood Reporter. So this is actually happening. Horror filmmaker Gary Dunbaum signs first look deal with Screen Gems Sony Pictures exclusive. Screen Gems and Sony Pictures are betting big on horror and placing their chips on one of their genre's big names. This guy you won't know very well, but we're going to tell you what he's done. The divisions have signed Gary Dunbaum, the multi-hyphenated... What the fuck? Who cares? The multi-hyphenated who has been involved in some of the biggest horror franchises of the past decade, including Annabelle and The Nun, to a first-look deal for feature films in the future. The move comes as Sony seeks to rebuild Scream Gems, its division focused on lower-budgeted fare, into a more productive label with horror being a top focus. The refurbishment comes under Ashley Brooks, who took on the role of president in September after the retirement of Steve Brash. Who gives a fuck? Dunbaum, who has worn hats of writer, director, and producer for his wide-ranging projects, will bring his millenary to the Culver City lot, creating projects for himself while curating a slate featuring established and up-and-coming filmmakers involving some of the biggest horror franchises in the last 10 years. Gary has an extraordinary ability to create and build out terrifying worlds and create a visceral experience through thoughtfully crafted story and characters. Yeah, says Annabelle 1. Don't make me laugh. Annabelle 2 was okay, and Annabelle 3 was a grifting season. And don't get me started on Nun Chapter 1 and Nun Chapter 2. To call them a dog's dinner would be giving them a compliment. They're low bottom feeding rat shit. But, you know, he's done a great job. Okay. Let's continue. I'll tell you. When we're praising the bottom of the barrel maggots on the rotting pizza that you left out for 4 months out in the fucking New York City street alley, and we're holding that up as a badge of honor like it's a fucking Purple Heart. God, I'm getting too old. I just don't get it anymore anyway. Screams, Gems, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Durman wrote the two-part adaptation of Stephen King's It. Okay, that's a nice, you know, even though, excuse me, It Chapter 2 wasn't exactly a great stick landing at the end. Chapter 1 was fantastic. You did a good job on that, pal. I'll give you credit there. Chapter 2 wasn't horrid, like some people say. Just wasn't anywhere near as good as the first one. But you got, that's better than Annabelle and The Nun. You lead off with that, bro. Lead off with It. Not with The Nun, who people only went to see because they were bored and had nothing else to see. That's why these movies have been successful. Let's just be honest. Stop the cap, as you kids love to say. It only went because y'all went out and saw these films because you were bored. There was nothing else in the theater except the alternatives that you had, and the alternatives that you had were lower than dog shit. So, of course, they made a killing for those first week. And then week two dropped off into the fucking sea and sunk like the lost city of fucking Atlantis. But, you know, you're doing the Lord's work out here. Anyway, let's get back to the article. I'm sorry. All integral parts of James Wan's The Conjuring universe, which has become the highest-grossing horror franchise of all time. Franchise. Of all time, that's true. Especially because of them fucking Conjuring films that people just swallow like a prostitute swallows cock. Just gobbling them like gobbled street cock. It's insane. But they are, no one can debate it, whether you like it or not. The Conjuring universe is the highest selling horror franchise. There you go again. Horror franchise of all time. And I don't ever see it being beaten because they're not done. They're not done. There'll be a Nun Chapter 3, a Conjuring Part 5, 6, 7, and 8. There'll be another Annabelle. There'll be something. There'll be more, and people will go to see it. So they're not done. So the record will never be broken. I don't know how I feel about that, because part of me is happy because James Wan got it started, but a part of me wants to kick James Wan in his fucking cock for getting this ball rolling. But I love James. He's a good dude, and he makes really good genre pictures. Excluding a few here or there. Let's continue. The Conjuring universe, which has become blah, blah, blah. We already talked about that. Doberman. We're just going to call him Doberman. Doberman moved from behind the typewriter to behind the camera, making his directorial debut with Annabelle Comes Home. That one wasn't so horrid. So, it's a good start. And he served in a producer capacity of many of those titles, as well as DC streaming series Swamp Thing, which was fantastic. And I wish it had gotten another season, but a part of me is happy it didn't, because we can just leave it at, wow, it's pure bliss. Like, Swamp Thing was fantastic. It was horror done properly. And it was, I know it was initially released on DC and Max, but it got released to CW. It's like, whoa. So, and it wasn't well received because it was too well written for a CW show. You had no business putting it on there, to be quite honest. The brain dead Gen Zers getting appreciated. So, anyway. Sorry to those who might be Gen Zers that are listening, but I love you guys, but you're fucking brain deads. Up next is his adaptation of Stephen King's Salem's Lot, which I heard is a fucking train wreck. I have heard nothing but horrid things from people that have worked on it, the people that have seen a screening of it. It is nothing but garbage from what I've heard, but they could fix it. Which he wrote and directed for Warner Brothers. He is currently developing a live-action take on 1980s animated series Gargoyles for Disney. Oh, God, no. That I didn't know, and that I didn't want to know. And is in development on Stray Dogs, which is based on the hit Image comic by Tony Fleece. I'm thrilled to be a part of the snowblowers who like to suck up. And the rest is just him sucking them off and saying, hey, I'm happy to come aboard, sir. I hope you don't rate me too hard over the coals. So, overall, I like to see horror movies winning. I like it. And I'm hoping among hope that Sony pushes this in the right direction. Like I said, when you tell me Annabelle, I roll my eyes. When you tell me about The Nun, Let's get a drink. I roll my eyes. I really do. Especially The Nun. The Nun is by far one of the most boring, average fucking horror films ever made. It's right up there with Exorcist Believer. It's just like, I want to hate this film, but I don't have the energy to hate it because you sucked it all out of me from boredom. It's trash. It's Jerry Springer white trash. R.I.P. Jerry, but you know what you've done. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'll give it a chance. I'm more in like more nowadays, especially since my grandmother passed away. I'm more into trying to let things more optimist, see an optimistic view, let things not piss me off so much, but when you have a track record that's hit or miss like that, I mean, It Chapter 1 was fantastic. It's still one of my favorites to this day. You know, I don't see that going away. Like I said, It Chapter 2, it was what it was. It wasn't. It Chapter 2 is not this horrid, unwatchable mess like I've heard some in the community. Like, it's so terrible. It's the worst thing I've. I could direct you to a couple movies where it'll blow your mind how terrible those films are. I'm talking about in the horror genre. You'll be like, okay, well, If Chapter 2 wasn't so bad. Take that back. But that's that. We got that out of the way. We had the news about Thanksgiving Chapter 2. Chucky Season 3 is officially underway of Chucky Season 3 Part 2 is officially underway of filming. As soon as that writer and actor strike went, they hit the ground running. So they should get it done. We'll probably have the second half of it next October. Because this is what we do. Fuck giving us what we want in advance, because it was technically part of last year. It's not our fault. We're being punished now for the writer and actor strike. So thank you for that. Don't know when the second half of Horror Story, American Horror Story, Delicate, unless they just scrap and say fuck it and do a whole new season, which kind of won't make sense because how they left the cliffhanger. And it's a stupid one. So how you get yourself out of that corner and just go, we intended that. No, you didn't. Because the writer and actor strike happened. So we don't know when that's happening. As soon as I know, I'll give an update. You people will be the first to know. But there's no information on that front. Alien Romulus is wrapped up. It's done. We need to get a trailer soon. Like, enough is enough with this shit. I know we're not getting it anytime this year. We'll probably see it early in 2024. But we really need to get going because they finished most of it. They were just a couple of editing touch-ups, and that's about it, and visual effects. Right? But they were done before the strike. So now that everything can be done again and everybody can go back to work, we need to polish it and get a trailer out because I need to know what Fede Alvarez is going to do with this alien, if that's what the official name is. Because I'm still skeptical if it's going to be Romulus. That doesn't. And then we got the TV series by Noah Hawley or whatever his name is, the guy behind Fargo, which the couple seasons of Fargo I've seen, Fargo's a really damn good, well-written show. So that kind of puts me in an optimistic view of the TV series of Alien because that is coming through FX, which FX's horror and sci-fi is hit or miss. Sometimes they knock it Barry Bonds on Max steroids out of the fucking park. They just say, Sammy Sosa, David Ortiz, you can kiss that one goodbye. And then sometimes they make schlock that you're like, we're still doing this. We're still doing this. So I'm cautiously optimistic and I'm a little scared because Alien Romulus has been blown by Ridley, which I don't trust Ridley Scott anymore. I really don't. He's gotten to overrated hack levels, and he's really not that good what he used to be. And I'm not even going to bash him as a filmmaker recently. I'm talking about his decisions made after Prometheus have been ghastly. He's responsible for why the Neil Blomkamp Alien 5 didn't happen. He crushed it like a bug so Alien Covenant could come out. And boy, what a treat Alien Covenant was. I've never had such a blast in the theater, boy. I'm being sarcastic if it couldn't be told. Ridley's opinion means fuck all to me. But I like Fede Alvarez. What he did with Evil Dead was really good. What he's done in the past is really good. I love Don't Breathe, the first one, especially with that messed up twist toward the end. Like, Fede knows his shit on horror. It's just, this is now genre horror and a big IP that's beloved by many people. Many, many people. I am not the only one. So, without going on and on and on and on and on, I've already gone on up there. We'll see what happens. But that's on my most anticipated list. I don't know what's going to win. I got a couple more nominations. I'll do one extra episode before the episode of the Tiberius Awards happens on January, but to clear up, but I still got some Best Actor Awards, Best Actress Awards to nominate. I've missed a couple. I'm going to write them down and then I'm going to finish them out, and then we'll do the awards in January, the 1st of January. But that's about all I got for rambling. And my biggest review that I have right now is Oppenheimer. I saw Oppenheimer finally, and I mentioned it before. It was a good enough film. I thought it was well written. It's a very well directed film, but there's just some things that are in the film that are jarring, like transitioning from black and white to color. I'd understand if it was like, oh, in the past he was in black and white, or in the present day with the trial he's in black and white, and in the past it's color and the flashbacks, or vice versa. It's all over the place at certain points where you're like, okay, this is obviously an artistic decision because of reasons that cannot be explained. And it's jarring because you really can't. This movie, you can get into it. For it being a 3-hour film, you start to get into it and you're like, okay, I like where we're going. And then it just hits you with a wall that, like a black and white scene. Or the ultra loud music that I understand is for IMAX and shit. But when there's high pitched noises that are just like the violin is about ready to snap all of its strings, it's grating to the ears. It's like nails on a chalkboard, and it takes you out of the film experience. For me. It is too long. It could have shaved off 10 minutes easily, because that last act was like, okay, you just did that so we could run it out and then just end the film. I don't like when Nolan does that. He's done it in a couple of his films, and I don't like it. It's lazy booking, as Jim Cornette would say. It's lazy filmmaking. And he's better than that. Whether you like his films or don't, whether you think he's worth his weight in gold or you think he's one of the most overrated fucks on planet Earth, he's better than that. Artistically, stylistically, and professionally, he knows. He's been doing this for years. He knows he's better than to do shit like that. So it's very annoying just to make a couple of extra popcorn bites in the seat. Like, it's annoying. So that part I did not enjoy. I was like, it is what it is. But overall, the performances were really good. I think Murphy was fantastic as Oppenheimer. Robert Downey Jr. is kind of overrated, but I still do understand why he is being praised. Emily Blunt is definitely the one that you got, because she fucking suffers a lot. And you got to give her your hat off to her performance. Emily Blunt continues to impress me everything she does. Even something that I'm like Mary Poppins that I don't give a fuck about. Her performance still stands out every time. She's a fantastic actress. And Krasinski, you're a lucky man for being able to raw dog her, because I'm telling you, she's not a bad looker. Matt Damon was fantastic. The small amount that Casey Affleck was in it, I really enjoyed. Same with Rami Malek. I had a good time with him, but I would have liked more. Because especially Casey's character is just so eerie and off-putting. You're like, can I get more of that? And you just don't. Because it's about Oppenheimer. It's about racing to the bomb. And really, at the end of the day, it's not. Because when you, by the time you get to the bomb, you're like, the war's over. Like, who cares? There's still side shit on the side that needs loose ends that need to be tied, and we needed to have the bomb so we could, you know, wipe out Hiroshima and Nagasaki so to prove our might. But for the most part, the race to stop Hitler was over. So it almost feels like it's not, but it comes damn near close to being anticlimactic. That's the way I understood it. I'm like, well, it's such a scattered brain film, even when you're looking at the historical facts of it. And it makes for a frustrating 3-hour watch. It's not 3 hours. It's like 2 hours and 55 minutes. And you get 5 to 10 minutes of credits in that 3 hours of end credits, because you got to see the visual team that probably took 700 people that worked on it. So that's going to be a long credit roll. Overall, I give Oppenheimer a B minus. It wasn't terrible, but it did deserve to be in the best pictures, because that is the best of what I've seen this year. I've seen some real fucking dreck this year that I just wanted to put my head up against the wall and keep smashing until I was no longer conscious and sent to the hospital and put in a coma. Because I know it sounds like hyperbole, but a part of me, some of these films and games and music that I've listened, I'd rather just be in a coma. Because if this is the best you can do, when we work, I have a full-time job. I don't have time for this nonsense. I want to escape from ship. I don't have time for this nonsense of agenda pushing and crybaby bullshit. I don't want to hear it, and most of us don't. We're hardworking people out here. We don't want people that have full-time jobs. We don't want to hear it. We want to come home, kick off our shoes. Some want to have a nice beer, nice cold beer. Some drink a glass of wine. Some drink apple juice. I don't know. But you want to just escape and be away from the bullshit. You don't want to hear a fucking sermon like you're in church about, well, you know, you're a piece of shit because you're a cis white male. And the patriarchy made you that way. It's like, here we go again. The song on the radio. It's been played more than Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit. It's insane how many times this song has been played on the radio. You're racist. You're misogynist. The patriarchy. Homophobia. Transphobia. Arachnophobia. Drillophobia. Agoraphobia. It's like, stop. Enough. We fucking get it. You're out to save the world. You're like the Faith No More song, We Care a Lot. You're out to save the world, you know, because you're really doing it for the world. Only you're doing it to stroke your own cock and ego. But, you know, but we're going to pretend like you're doing it because you're a Marvel superhero. Go fuck yourself, you brain dead zombies. And on that note, I think we're good. I don't have anything else. I'll have more news hopefully down the line, and I'm going to start watching a boatload of stuff and reviewing it. So that'll be the next episode, and then finishing off the nominations. So I've taken up enough of your guys' time. I just wanted to get that out there because it was really getting on my nerves, and I wanted to talk about the Melissa Barrera situation because I think it's just fucking shitty. To be fired, to be completely lose your career because you dared to say, please don't kill innocent people. That's all I'm asking on either side. Don't murder innocent people. You're anti-Semitic, bitch. Get out. That's dangerous. That's fucking dangerous. That's really dangerous to have that mentality and to have that kind of power. And it doesn't sit right with me, and it makes me want to boycott Spyglass. But it does nothing in the long haul. We need to go harder. We need to go further and harder than that and trying to be able to do that without hurting the people that are affected that need the jobs. I don't know how we do that, but we got to figure out a way. Because that's a dangerous power to wield. No one should be fired because you said, I don't want people to die. That's fucking insane. And it's tragic. We need to do better as a human race, people. We really do. On that note, I'll leave it there. But we need to do much, much better. On that note, I love you guys. I really do. I appreciate those who are still listening. And take care of yourselves. Don't get fired and being called anti-Semitic just because you said the sky was blue. Be careful. It might be green. You never know. There's a lot of farts in the air nowadays. So take care of yourselves. Love you guys. Till the next one. Peace.